Okay, so you are in Indiana?
I am. I'm in Fowler, Indiana. We are 40 minutes west of Purdue in West Lafayette. And okay. We are just a few miles from the Illinois state line. Our claim to fame is we're 100 miles from Chicago and 100 miles from Indianapolis.
Oh, really? Wow. I think I've been to Fowler once before.
No.
Yeah, because we work with Midwest Mole, and they're out of Greenfield. But they do projects all over, so I think we were driving around to different projects, and I think we went through Fowler for some reason. I think we were in Fishers or Fisherville.
Sure. And I mean, like, Fishers is just a little north of Indianapolis, so.
Yeah, so we headed up that way, and then we kind of cut over all the way across the state and ended up in Chicago, and I feel like we went through Fowler.
If you were going to Chicago, there is a great chance you went through Fowler. You know us because the windmills. We're surrounded by windmills.
Oh, really?
Which is, you know, not a lot of people have experience with the windmills, but Chicago's the windy city. We're 100 miles from Chicago.
Sure.
We are nothing but flat farmland. So we're one of the windiest places in the country.
They, you know, you hear it's the windy city. You go to Chicago, you're like, all right, how windy can it really be? And then you're walking around in Chicago, you're like, yeah, this is pretty miserable when it's cold. It's a terrible place in the winter.
Yeah. So imagine that wind and cold, and then take away all those huge buildings. Right. So when you're in the city, you've at least got like wind block, and sure. Out here, there's just nothing. So yeah, just lots of wind.
So you guys have it's you and your husband have a excavation company, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And when did you guys start?
So my husband's been in dirt work, since forever for him. He's got family that have always done excavation and dirt work. His grandfather started the company just as a side business. He was a farmer, and it's kind of just always been in his blood. I never expected I would be in this line of work. I went to Purdue for health science. I got into the pre-physical therapy program, which was pretty competitive at the time. Went to school, got out on my own. Quickly realized that it wasn't maybe what I wanted to do. I've always had a love for health and fitness, but didn't really love the sitting in schools, doing the biology, anatomy, all those things they want you to do. So I met my husband while I was at Purdue, doing the health science, health and fitness. He was really different from anyone I had ever met. Actually, when I met him, he was dirty. Him and his buddy had come out to Purdue. They'd come straight from the job site, and they were covered in dirt. They were in their work boots. I was 20 years old. He was 21 at the time, and I just remember thinking like, whoa, you're really different from any of the guys around here. And ended up, we got serious, got together. I moved out to Fowler, never completed my Purdue degree in health science. I only finished my 3 years and came out to Fowler. I was working for an insurance company. And that was a really interesting experience because I started out as a cold caller, which if you know anything about cold calling, it's basically the most miserable job there is. Just calling people out of a list. And I was just asking them if they wanted an insurance quote. Most of them would tell me to screw off and lose my number and stuff like that. But I ended up having some success with it. I went on to get my insurance licenses. I was selling insurance. when my husband and I got pregnant, I realized I didn't want that lifestyle anymore. I really wanted to own my own time and be able to spend my time with my son. And I actually, at 23 years old, opened my first business, which was a health and fitness and gymnastics studio here in Fowler.
Gotcha.
So I did that at 23, started my own business. My husband was super supportive. He thought I was crazy because it was just something he didn't know anything about. But I got certified. I was teaching workout classes and tumbling classes and gymnastics for kids. Built up a pretty successful business. And then a little bit before COVID, decided it was time to sell the business. And I wasn't able to sell the business because I had completely built the business around myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching all the classes. I was managing everything on the back end. And when I wasn't able to sell the business, I closed the doors. And that was when I started working with my husband and his father at their excavation company, doing book work and invoicing and things like that.
Gotcha. So that's where the dirt comes into the picture. It's funny, people think all businesses are worth something, but in reality, they're not all worth something, especially if construction companies have a similar problem. A lot of construction companies, especially smaller companies, are built around a single individual or a group of individuals. And once they're removed from the equation, the company isn't built to run without them. And
absolutely,
essentially the company's worthless, or it's just valued at whatever assets the company owns. And so that's what happens to a lot of companies without succession plans, is they just close their doors, sell their equipment, and that's it. The first company I worked for, that's what happened to that company, because there just wasn't a succession plan and the company wasn't worth a whole lot otherwise.
That was exactly what happened to me. And it was a huge eye opener.
Yeah.
It was a big lesson. And what I wanted to do going forward, and my husband and I with our company, that, we have the end goal of, we want this to be a self-sufficient, well-oiled machine that if we were to be removed from it, it could still survive.
Yeah. And it's not, it's not so much that I think, at least I want to build a sustainable company, not because I just want to kick back and hang out. I still want to work as hard as I am now, I have no plans on hanging out anytime soon, but it just gives you more time to then focus on where you need to go. Big picture, the fun part about business, not the books and the insurance and the day-to-day operations, that's where other people can help you out, and you can go focus on the fun stuff, the big picture problems, which is, I spend more time on that today than ever before, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, at some point everyone gets older. You have to plan for the future, and you want to help as many people along the way as you can. And that's just another one of our goals as well, just to bring people with us and help and really give back to the employees who are helping us build this company.
Sure.
And that was when I got in with my father-in-law and my husband, and my father-in-law got sick. He got a cancer diagnosis and he had to go away for treatments. And really the whole dynamic started to shift. And you know, Corey and I, my husband, we realized, okay, things aren't going to be like they always were before. And what can we do to really set into motion our future and take control of, you know, our business and what we want to do? So we just went out on our own just a year ago. We started our own company, went out on our own. We started with no capital. Nothing. We went to the local bank here, and we've been purchasing equipment from my father-in-law and from other sources. And it's just been a wild ride for the last year.
So your husband and his dad were in business together.
He worked for his dad.
Okay.
So it's his dad's company.
He worked for his dad's excavation company. And yes. Then you went to work for his dad's excavation company as well. His dad gets sick, can't operate the business anymore. So what happens to that company? Is it still around?
It is.
Okay. So they're still doing their own thing, but you guys said, why don't we go do this ourselves? Why did you decide to go do it yourself? Why not stay at that original excavation company?
Well, they still are. I mean, we're still working together. We're still operating out of the same location and everything like that. And we're working together on projects, doing subcontracting with each other, but just different stages of life, different goals, different ideas on how to run things. You just kind of have that moment where you're like, I want to be my own boss. I want to do this and see if I'm full of shit or if I can actually, you know, make this work.
Sure.
Doing it on my own.
What are some of the differences?
The scales of projects, the level of risk. Basically, they started doing smaller projects, and they've always done a variety of projects, but driveways, ditch digging, ponds, foundations, a lot of farm, ag, field drainage projects. And Corey and I just really thought we can grow this business, bring on more employees, bigger projects, more risk. And that just wasn't the original plan. Gotcha. So that was when we were like, okay, let's try this. Let's grow our team and see where we can go.
Understood. So you guys, you're younger, in your 30s now, lots of time ahead of you, hungrier, thinking, hey, there's a lot of opportunity here and let's go seize it. And to do that, we need to be on our own.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Understood. So when you don't have money to start a construction business, you went to a bank. And so did you get a line of credit from the bank to start financing, or have they financed equipment? How has that worked?
So we didn't get a line of credit at first. What we did was we bought a semi and a dump trailer from my father-in-law. We got a 90-day note from the bank, a secured 90-day note. We leased the equipment at first. We paid off the semi and dump trailer in about 60 days. And then we went back to the bank and said, okay, look, we paid it off. We need another 90-day note. And we went out and bought a 2018 John Deere 290G excavator.
Oh, nice. That's a nice little machine. What did you secure the note with?
The equipment.
Okay. So the equipment you're buying itself. Yeah. That's been our problem, is we don't have any equipment or anything like that. We can't secure a note with anything. So it's a hard sell to these banks, which is why we have not gotten capital.
It is hard. And we were lucky to be able to secure these notes, with the equipment, but they were still taking a gamble. But we're in a small community. The guys, Corey and his father and his grandfather, have a great reputation of being hard workers, honest, and we're really thankful for that too, because there's so much to be said about the legacy that they have built, and it has helped us in numerous ways. But we just kept doing that up until just very recently, in like the last month or two. And the bank, they would just smile. You know, I would call and I'd come in and I'm like, look, we paid it off. We need another 90-day note. We need another 90-day note. And I did that about 7 times before I just finally said, okay, are you guys ready to do the line of credit with us? Because it's pretty substantial. And they were like, actually, yes, let's do this. That's fine. You guys have proven yourselves. So
sure. Yeah. People don't realize how much money it takes to build a company. It's pretty brutal. What's the split between you and your husband? What does he do? What do you do?
So he does so much. He is the project manager. He's the operator. He's our CDL truck driver. He's the guy that manages our employees. He's the guy that oversees all the jobs. He meets with customers and clients. And he's one of those guys who can operate anything. And I think in this industry, a lot of people say that, but he jumps from the bulldozer to the motor grader to the excavator to the track loader to the semi all day long. And it is really just like an awesome thing to see him in motion. He can run all the equipment. He trains guys to run the equipment. And he's been doing that for a long time. Actually, one of the employees that he trained and who's been a friend of ours for years, he left about 2 years ago, and he now works for Blunt Contracting in Arizona.
Oh, no kidding.
And we would love to have him back now that we're like, hey, we're growing. We need you. Come back. And he's like, no way.
it's just life.
Too much to see out there. He's doing huge projects that we can't touch.
Blunt, that's a damn good place to work. That's a
definitely
damn good company to work for. Yeah. And you know, Randy's heavily involved in our company and has been very instrumental to the past year and what he's done with Blunt and then past the acquisition. It's pretty amazing what they're doing right now. The scale of the projects they're taking on is nuts compared to what they were just doing a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Imagine that.
The whole like gray equipment, we love it. Like just totally marketing genius to do that.
Yeah. It's panned out pretty well for him. So what do you do?
So I'm on the back end. I'm doing the bookwork. I'm doing the permitting. I'm dealing with customers. And it changes every day. Sometimes I'm bringing lunch to the guys in the field. Sometimes I'm picking up parts. It really is ever changing. I've gotten into the bidding and estimating. I've got some mentors from other companies that I've made connections with that have really helped me just with figuring out how to bid these larger scale jobs that we're trying to get into, and learning every day. That's the best thing about us and our company is you can't really, I can't be embarrassed because the first thing I can tell you is, oh, I don't know much. So if I have a win, that's great. And don't expect too much from me.
Sure. Yeah, I was just talking to someone about that yesterday. Every time someone says, you know, you don't know what you're doing, it's like, yeah, you're right. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I've already said that 100 times online. So this isn't new information here. I know I don't know what I'm doing. on the back office stuff, it's, you know, if that wasn't going on, the company really wouldn't operate, right? I the field is what drives everything. So the fields, the laborers, the operators, whoever's out in the field, that's what you can bill for. And they're the ones that keep the company operating from a cash flow standpoint. But if you weren't there on the back end with permits, with making sure equipment payments are made, but making sure payroll's good, with tax forms filled out, if you weren't operating the business on the back end, there wouldn't really be a business for them to even work for, right?
Definitely. And I'm very fortunate that my husband and I, every day is not, you know, rainbows and glitter, but he is so grateful for everything I do. And I'm also aware that, you know, there wouldn't be anything to bill for if him and his crew weren't out there getting the work done. So correct. We work well together. I'm fortunate. He's great. We're really getting down our communication with each other. We're very different in a lot of ways. And I think that's great too. It helps us balance. I would say I'm more conservative and less willing to take big risks and very budget oriented. And he's kind of like, no, we're going to do this and it's going to be okay because I'm going to go out there and make sure it's okay.
Sure.
And it's a really good balance.
It's good to have that. Well, I mean, speaking of Randy Blunt, he's an advisor at our company and he's definitely significantly more conservative and risk adverse than I am. And we're, you know, constantly debating what is going on and the financial situation of our company and, you know, looking into next year, where we're at. And it's really nice to have two sides of the spectrum in the same room and be able to discuss and debate things and come to what's the best decision for the company overall, which is oftentimes something that's right in the middle. I mean, if I had my way and we were just full send 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this place would be a complete shit fest. And if we were playing it safe, conservative, we wouldn't be having the impact we need to have in the industry. We wouldn't be growing as quickly as we could. We would be a nice, sustainable business, but that's not why we're here. We're here to make the dirt world a better place. And with that, we need to be a lot more aggressive, but it's really nice to have that balance. And we haven't totally had it until Randy got involved in the company this year, but it's been a huge and very positive change for us.
You are so right. You don't want to go too far to either side of the spectrum because you don't want something that you can't manage. And that kind of leads us into saying, you want your company to grow. You want to take on more jobs. You want to take on bigger jobs. But you don't want to overextend yourself either. Yeah. And that's where I'm always like, okay, I want to make sure we can meet all these goals. I want to make sure our customers are happy. I want to make sure we're still living up to the high quality work that we are known for. And I don't want those things to start slipping. And really how we've mitigated that is we've gotten a lot better at saying no to the small jobs. And where before it was like, we just wanted to say yes to everything. If the phone rang and somebody needed a stump pulled out of their yard, it was like, we would send a guy over there. And that is just not in our scope of work anymore. But we've also got some great contractors around here that we can refer our customers to that also do quality work. And there's enough business to go around for everyone.
Sure. Is he still just as dirty as he was when he was 21?
Yes. He is always dirty. Him and the guys are always dirty. He still works till late at night. Everyone just knows him for being the last guy to leave the job site. He's pretty meticulous and particular. All the equipment has to be parked a certain way. The job site has to look a certain way before he'll even think about coming home for the night, which is usually 9-10 o'clock at night most days.
It's a brutal industry, especially summer months. You're going full bore. What I guess getting into, you're obviously a woman and you were not in the construction industry for a while. You were thinking of, you know, getting into fitness. You had a tumbling business which isn't exactly hardcore blue collar, big beefy men. How has the transition to the blue collar world been as a woman, good and bad? Because I'm just very curious about this whole thing, because I'm always, there's just always this criticism we have within our social media, the podcast, whatever. Everybody's like, get more women on, or we need more pictures of women. It's like, guys, there really aren't all that many women in the industry. I photograph every time I see a woman in the field, I photograph that individual. And I'm sure too, but they just, they're like, I call them like snow leopards. You guys are like snow leopards. There just aren't a lot of women in the industry, which I think is stupid because we're looking at this huge workforce problem and we're ignoring half the population. So that's why I want to touch on it more. But I guess to begin with, how was the transition from tumbling to the dirt world?
For the most part, and the day-to-day operations and my normal outlook, it wasn't a huge leap. I'd been around. We're very fortunate to have great guys working for us and great people that we're surrounded by. And not just our employees, because as you know, it takes so much to make these companies go. I've got parts guys, I've got mechanics. There's so many people that we're interacting with on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Yeah. And for those interactions and those relationships, I don't even notice it. And I don't feel like they notice it. It's not until we get into situations that are maybe a little bit out of our norm that sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I'm a woman. And that's a little bit different than what most people are used to in this industry.
Like what's an example?
I went to a machine auction by myself a few months back. This is a good example for this. My husband originally planned to go. He was on a project. The deadline was right there. It was a Saturday. And he's like, I have to go to work. We had sought out this bulldozer that was going up for auction that was literally 10 miles from where we live. So he's like, we discussed the budget. We're like, okay, look, if this bulldozer goes for anything under this, like we need, it needs to come home with us. And just walking up to the crowd, I was the only woman there. I'm by myself. There was just some comments made, and they're not even like mean or nasty, but just things like, oh, are you lost? Or, yeah, you know, do you need some help? And I'm like, no, I'm not lost. I'm a damn bulldozer. Yeah. And it just happened to be, that was the last machine that went up for auction. And when I bid on that machine, I mean, it was like, I think 10 people's jaws dropped because they're like, whoa, what the heck is she doing here bidding on a bulldozer? Yeah.
Did you buy the machine?
No, it went for more than we budgeted for. Damn. And that was okay. It went to somebody that we knew, and it all worked out. We've got the Komatsu D65 dozer that we use and have purchased. So it worked out. But, you know, just situations like that, or I go into these bid meetings for county projects, city projects, things like that, and I'm the only woman, and people are just looking at me like, what the heck is she doing here? Is she like delivering the muffins for the meeting, or, you know? And then when I'm turning in a bid, they're like, whoa, wait, okay.
Yeah.
So it happens.
What's your whole opinion on the whole women in construction thing? It's because it's, I don't know, I wouldn't say tricky, but it's definitely something that hasn't been figured out. Like, clearly we need more women in the industry. Clearly we just need more people in the industry. And I think women have a whole different perspective to add to the same problem, which the industry's missed out on for a long time. How do we attract more women without the whole, you know, because the other side of the coin is the women I've met in the industry, they don't want to be treated any differently. They just want to keep their head down and get their work done like everybody else. So it's, how do you focus on attracting more women without necessarily treating them differently and drawing unnecessary attention to them? Because again, the people I've met in the field, women I've met in the field, in the industry, they don't necessarily want any kind of special credit. They're just there to do their job.
Absolutely. I think you basically hit the nail on the head. Like, nobody is no woman feels like, oh, I'm so special because I'm in this industry. Like, no, we're just here. We're doing our job. We're making money. We're learning. If you're like me, you're just somebody who doesn't know anything. And that doesn't deserve any special attention or anything like that. But we definitely need more women in this industry. You know, it's another balance thing. My husband, you know, we'll have an employee say, hey, can I have this day off because I need to go to this baby shower or something like that. And my husband's like, baby shower? Like, what? No, what? And I'm like, hey, look, he has family, he has obligations, and that's important. You know, that goes back into work-life balance. So yes, he can have the day off to go to the baby shower with his wife because that's important. And you know, we have to look at the bigger picture. And men sometimes have a harder time realizing that. And like I said, that's no fault to them. It's just the difference between men and women. And I think the way we can attract more women is just the same way that we can attract more employees in general. And that is creating a funnel and a foundation to bring youth into these trades and get them familiar with the opportunities that are out there. It's going to be the same way we bring in more men and we bring in more women and just let them know at a young age that, look, there's opportunities out here. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to get $100,000 in debt. You can come out here. You can start working. You can work your way up and make a good living.
Sure. Yeah. And so, I mean, basically what you're saying with the baby shower analogy or example is, we just need to be more thoughtful and caring as an industry. And if we are, we'll attract everybody, including women.
Absolutely. So
it's not that we necessarily need to focus on attracting women, which I completely agree with. I don't know. I just have a problem with the whole, like, I love the whole women in construction push, but at the same time, We just need to show off the industry. We need to show off everybody. And because I've talked to enough of these women, I know that they don't necessarily want a whole week dedicated to them. They're just proud of what they do like anybody else. And they just want to be another person out there doing the work. So it's just this weird dynamic. And it's hard for me to argue that point to people that haven't been out in the field as much as I have and haven't really talked to these people, because it's like, it feels like I'm just being an asshole, but I'm not. I'm just saying, guys, I don't know if they necessarily even want a whole week dedicated to them. That's and you know, also, what the fuck do I know? I'm a white male, so can I completely speak on the subject? No, but from my conversations I've had with the people in this position, it's exactly that. They just want to be one of the guys, quote unquote. And I think we just need to care for people across the board more in the industry than we are right now. And if we do that, we'll attract the next generation, whoever the hell they are.
Right. And you're so right about, you're kind of the man in the middle. It's like, don't shoot the messenger. But I totally agree. I think that's how most women feel. And I know me personally, I'm like, don't bring attention to me. I'm sitting in an air-conditioned office and my guys are out there in 90-degree weather, sweating their butts off, working a 14-hour day. Let's celebrate them and how much they are accomplishing and how we couldn't do any of this if they weren't out there. And it takes a toll. You know, they work hard. They put their hearts and souls into it. Some days it's hot, some days it's cold. We are fortunate. Most of our equipment has cabs, but we do have, like, our compaction roller does not have a cab. And
nice.
Man, I feel terrible for the guy that gets stuck on that machine, you know?
Well, according to Eric Jumper, that builds character. Sitting on a roller, going back and forth in the freezing cold or in the terrible heat and humidity of the summer. Just miserable, like that. That's good for you. It's not a bad thing. I think a little bit of that's good for you.
You know, they don't complain. They do it. So we're just lucky. I mean, I know I probably wouldn't want to do it. So there again, let's celebrate them because that's pretty awesome.
It is funny though, the whole women in construction thing, like women really are the ones that operate this entire industry if you think about it. I mean, you go into any construction office, payroll, insurance, I mean, the whole back office of every construction company, most of the time is women.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's true in my experience. I mean, every office I go, management, it's lacking. Leadership, it's lacking, which I think is a problem. And I think these companies are actually screwing themselves by not creating those opportunities in leadership roles. Yeah, in the field, it's oftentimes men. But if you think about it, I mean, I think there are more, I don't know. It's something I haven't really been able to even form my thoughts on because it seems like such a prickly topic with people. Even out in the field, you know, you have these big burly men and they feel threatened for whatever reason sometimes by talking about the whole women in construction thing. And then you have the whole other side of the spectrum, like, we need all women in construction. I'm like, what are you even talking about? That doesn't make sense. No. I haven't figured out where how to walk that line yet. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I really truly think if we start young and recruit these people, and a shift has to happen. And I'm actually in the works with two of our local area high schools in bringing back a trades program for the students who want to explore different opportunities. And we do have a building trades program at our one local high school, which is they build a house every year. That's what the class does. And it's a really cool program. The students have obviously their teacher who is the, you know, contractor, and he follows up on everything and he's teaching them. But why is that the only option? Why don't we have more options for them, boys and girls, to, I mean, I know I would love to have some females shadow me and look at, and you never know, maybe they think what I do is completely boring and they're like, hey, I want to run that excavator, you know?
Yeah. That's the funny thing about running equipment. You can be this little ass dude or you can be this big burly dude. It's electronic controls. That's all you're doing. It's a physical job. I mean, sitting in a dozer all day, if you're in rock or something, beats the hell out of you. So I'm not saying it's not physical, but there aren't physical requirements to it that any one human can or can't do. You're not lifting something heavy, for example. Anyone can do it. That's the crazy thing about it.
Right.
And honestly, and I've talked about this a bunch. So we have a bunch of women that work at the company. And we're a creative business. We're not a contracting company. So it's not all the similar. But every time we have a company meeting, which is twice a year, we rent equipment and put people in the machines. And sometimes, especially all the new folks that we have, these people have no industry experience, have never been around equipment before. And that's the first time they've ever sat in a machine. The people who love it the most I've seen are the women, because they go into it thinking it's not really for them. It's dirt and equipment. This isn't really my thing. And you can't get them out of the damn machines. You can't. They are so fucking fired up to be in an excavator moving dirt. And they're the people that least expected it and weren't excited about going into it. And that's what I love. And it's broadened my perspective on the subject. It's like, oh, we're missing out on something here. Just in general, I think the more people we can get into the industry and just have experienced the industry, the better off we are. But the thing is, I think it's the industry's responsibility. We spend so much money on equipment and productivity and software and technology. How much money do we spend on getting people exposed to the industry? We don't spend anything on it. And so we're sitting here confused, scratching our heads, like, why aren't people getting into the industry? They should just go to trade. It's like, the trade schools don't exist, guys. You need to get them on your sites. You need to create your own opportunities to get equipment in front of these people and construction in front of these people. Like, this is our responsibility. No one's going to come save the day here.
You are so right. And the other responsibility that we have to accept is, as you know, an excavation company and all these you know, construction and excavation companies, you have to realize that you're not going to necessarily hire someone who is an expert operator. No. You have to bring them in. You have to train them. And that takes a lot of time, a lot of machine hours. You're not going to just put them on one job and they're going to come off and be able to do the next one like a pro. So it is an investment, because it's going to take you a lot of time to get that employee where you want them, but it's a necessary investment. And that's another thing that we have decided that we want to do, and that's invest in our employees. I think that gives you the greatest return, really.
Well, it's expensive, it's hard, but it's the only damn option nowadays. How many people do you guys have?
So we've only got 3 right now.
Okay, so you have 3 people. That's a small construction company, and you're still saying, you know what? We think it's better to invest in people and put this money into people than try to find experienced people. If you can do it, anybody can do it. You have less resources than any other big construction company, right? And you're still saying,
definitely,
we can do it. Yeah. We can train. We're going to take the time to invest in these people. We're going to build the next generation internally, because that's what it's going to take. And I'd argue you're at more of an advantage than most of the big construction companies in your market, if you can recognize that and successfully implement that, because now you're designing your company around that, and they're going to have to go write an enormous ship and this huge culture that could be decades and decades old that is built on something completely different, built on finding very experienced people and just getting them to be productive day one. If you're building your business around creating everybody you need, you're just going to completely clobber everybody else down the road.
I mean, that would be great. And we hope that's in our future. And we want our employees to be well-rounded, you know, just like Corey, my husband. You know, it's really beneficial if you can have an employee that can run an excavator and run a bulldozer and run the skid steer and, you know, be multifaceted, instead of like, okay, here's our bulldozer guy and he does nothing except run the bulldozer.
Yeah. Well, and you know, part of it is a skill set and part of it's an attitude as well. And I think younger people are more willing to, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever the hell I need to do. And like you had, I was with New Era Excavation the other day in Connecticut, Tom Gardocki and Craig and those the other jabronis at the company. And Craig, he's part owner in the company. It's him and Tom that own the company together. They do the estimating, they do everything. But when they were tying in a water service, Craig was the one in the hole tying in the water service with the shovel. And
yes,
he's the one that owns the company. And he does everything else, but he's the first one in the hole tying in the water service. And that's just an attitude thing. I'm here to do whatever I need to do. And the guys that just sit in a machine saying, "Ah, no, I'm just an operator," it's just a shitty mentality, and it's going to hurt them long term. The guys that say, "Yeah, I'm an operator, but hey, if I need to get out of the machine and do whatever I need to do, or if I need to, you know, be a pipe layer for a month, cool, I'm about it. Let's do it." I think it's skill set. You need to have the skill set to do that. But I think it's bigger. It's just having an open mind and having a good attitude and saying, I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to make this thing work.
Absolutely. And I will definitely give credit to Corey that he is that guy. And I think it gains him respect from a lot of people, because it doesn't matter if it's a mud hole, same thing. He's tied in water lines. I mean, sometimes he literally has to get in people's shit. You know, they're doing septic yeah. systems and, you know, tying into old septic systems and doing this and doing that. And he just does it. He does it. And it's one of the things that makes me feel, of course, when you go out on your own, you feel nervous. You're a little scared. You really just hope everything's going to go okay. But he definitely gives me that assurance that, like, I'm going to do what I need to do. It doesn't matter. My ego is not involved with it. And it's also why our customers love him. They love seeing him show up to the job site. They love talking to him about the project, and they love, you know, that's one thing too, that's funny about this industry, or at least the projects that we do around here. People love to watch. I mean, they just love to see the changes take place and see the project from start to finish. And, you know, Corey's really good at what he does, and people just love to watch it take place.
It's very gratifying to watch physical progress as a human being. And I think as we're transitioning more and more to a digital world in which there's digital progress being made, but you can't really see it, I think the appeal of the trades is only going to become greater. And that's, it sounds counterintuitive, but I think that's the way it's going to go. I think we're going to, we've kind of gone a little too digital, and sure, the digital world is here to stay, but there's just something so primal and gratifying as a human being to see a hole you just dug. I don't know what it is, but there is something that really, really excites you as a human to see physical progress being made as a result of your hard work.
You know, that is such a good point. And that also makes me think, if we can get these younger kids in here, isn't that going to hook them?
Yeah.
That, you know, they're out here and they get on their first couple projects and they see the progress and they see the work done, and they can look at that hole they dug and said, I did that, and want
to
stick around.
I just had a kid this morning write me. He said, I was going to college, I was studying something different, saw you guys on social media, started following along, got introduced to the dirt world, had never thought of it before, then got a job at a construction company, moving dirt for a summer, and now I'm hooked. I love this shit. I love it. And now I'm doing it as a career. I've chosen to do it. That, it's all it takes. It doesn't take this huge educational push, I don't think. It really is just, it could just be one experience with a skid steer. It doesn't have to be all that dramatic. We don't have to go build these massive colleges for inspiring kids to be in construction. I think we just need to create opportunities as an industry for people just to experience what we do, even for a little bit. That's enough, especially as a kid, and especially as a teenager, and especially as a young adult. If we can create those more opportunities, I think we're going to have that next generation. That's why I bought the skid steer, so I can have fun, sure, but I want to get as many people in my life in that machine as I can. I got my mom in it. I got my brother in it. I got my sister in it. I've had my friends in it. Everybody that comes to town, put them in the skid steer. Are they going to, you know, maybe they think about the construction industry, maybe not, but at least they can now appreciate it a little bit more than they did before because they had that experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know.
And you know, I've gotten in the machines, and I do from time to time. It's not pretty, and it's not as easy as it looks.
No.
And there again, that goes back to like proper training and investing in your employees. But, I remember I was out, it was a Sunday, and my husband was working, and he didn't have his crew. So my son and I went out to help him. And I was in the excavator and I'm loading a truck, and it was just terrible. It was terrible. I mean, I was making progress, but it was painful. And I remember Corey, he was like, Christine, our names on the side of this machine, were right off the highway. Like, come on, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. You guys make this look easy, and it's not.
Yeah. But at the same time, even though you sucked at it, did you get out of the machine like, man, I never want to do that again. That was stupid.
No.
You probably all about it. Like, man, that was pretty damn cool. Holy shit.
It was fun. Yeah. And then we switched positions, and I got into the haul truck, my son and I, and we were just putzing around the property, moving dirt from one side of the property to the other. And, you know, same thing. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, I'm in a life-size Tonka truck.
Yeah. How's the whole parenting thing with the company and both parents in the company and working all that you guys do? Is it just one kid, multiple kids now?
Yes. Yep. We just have one kid. We have our son, Kaysen. He's 8 now. And it is definitely, you have to be very intentional about the work-life balance. Obviously, like I said, my husband is the one that's out there. on the front lines making this stuff happen. He's working his butt off every day. And my workday ends at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock most days because I've got our son that has homework and baseball practice and Cub Scouts and things like that. And, but it's also, I feel very fortunate that at least I'm not out at a job where I might not get to do those things with him, you know, depending on what shift you'd have to work, or nurses who work 12-hour shifts, you know. It is a lot of hard work, and we're very intentional about our family time, and we love to do things together as a family. But, you know, Corey doesn't, he's not there for everything, and it's a sacrifice that he makes for our family. Our son spends a lot of time at the job sites.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the unique things about construction is most businesses are family businesses, and I mean, a lot of people just raise their kids on job sites.
Yeah. It's a great way to grow up though. And our son loves the equipment. Like I said, he's only 8, and we've both said like, we're not going to force him into it or anything like that. But as of right now, he thinks it's so cool that his dad runs the machines. And we were on a job that was a field drainage job, and they did a waterway, and they had to lay straw blanket throughout the waterway. It was like 2,000 linear feet. And we had Kaysen out there laying in staples, and his hands were getting dirty, and he loved it. He just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And we paid him, you know, and that $20 bill was like gold to him.
Sure. Yeah. It's, there's few things as exciting as a kid, as working hard and then having someone hand you money for it. I remember first time I started actually working, and then, you know, they'd pay me in cash every day. And I just could not believe, like, whoa, I just got three $20 bills for pushing a wheelbarrow around for a few hours. This is sweet. I need to do more of this. And you kind of get hooked on it. Especially when you start doing it at a young age, it's actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And my husband jokes that, you know, all right, Kaysen, bring your friends next time and spread the word, tell everybody how much fun this is.
Cheap labor.
And, you know, yeah, we joke about it like, okay, let's bring these kids up and just make a total like bulletproof crew out of them.
And
that'd be great.
In Montana, where I spent summers growing up, we had, so it was my friend's place, and his parents invited the whole friend group up. So it was like 6 or 7 young boys. We're probably like 8 or 9 years old. We were pretty damn young, probably similar to your son's age. So we would mess around, you know, you'd do fishing, you'd do shooting, you'd ride around on the quads. But then his dad would put us to work, and he'd have projects on the property that needed to get done. And he had, you know, 6 or 7 kids there. So he just gave us a wheelbarrow and some shovels and said, hey, this pile of rock over here, it needs to go over here. And this is how it needs to go over here. Have at it. And we didn't ask any questions. We were just like, shoot, okay, let's get to work. And it was actually kind of fun working as like a little crew with your friends, working hard, getting stuff done, seeing what you were accomplishing. And then, you know, every summer I'd go up there, I'd remember like, man, we spread that rock over there. And that's pretty cool. It's still there. It's fun working hard as a kid.
I agree. I think you just need the opportunity. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that it bugs me sometimes when people say the problems with the workforce today is, you know, kids are lazy and nobody wants to work. And I think, well, whose fault is that? And I don't think that's true. There's a lot of things that have that are vastly different than when our parents were young. You know, the cost of living and inflation, all that. But did you actually give your kids the opportunity to work? Did you teach them a work ethic? It doesn't just come out of nowhere.
No.
So
I think that's huge.
We have to be intentional about that.
100%. We're more comfortable as a society than ever before. We don't have to work. We don't have to work hard. You can go decades without doing any real hard work right now with how comfortable our society is. You can get all your food sent to you, everything sent to you. You're good to go. Like all your caloric needs are met. We are just stupid comfortable right now. And you're living in a city, you don't have a big piece of property, most people. And so you have to seek out those opportunities and seek out the opportunities to create hard work for your kids. And I just talked, we had Sal Frisell on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he makes a big point out of mowing his own lawn and showing his kids hard work. He can go hire someone to mow his lawn, easy, but he wants to show his kids, hey, I'm willing to do the hard work. I'm here to make it happen. And hey, come along with me, ride on the mower with me. And then they'll grow up and they'll probably be mowing the lawn because they saw their dad modeling that hard work. And then they're working hard and growing up. Like you have to create the opportunities to do that because society is so cushy now. It's not kids' faults. They're just not learning how to work hard. And I didn't learn how to work hard until I was in high school. I'd never worked hard in my life until I was in high school. And then I got slapped in the face by hard work and was like, holy shit. So this is what actual work is like. Woof. And I actually started to like it. But until I had that opportunity, I didn't even know what it was.
And I would say you're lucky. I don't want to say lucky, but you're in the minority of that. To me is like a disadvantage. You didn't get that hard work until totally later. And so good for you that you enjoyed it, because let's be honest, most people aren't going to enjoy it at that point.
I agree.
So you have to start them young. It has to be a part of life. Because otherwise who doesn't want to just sit and play video games all day instead of mowing the yard and picking up sticks and doing dishes and brushing the dog and just little things like that. It really starts small, but it's so important. And it really is another thing on the list for parents to do, because there's so many times I know personally, it's like, this would be really quick and easy if I just did it myself, but I'm going to make my son do it. It's going to be painful for all of us, but he's going to do it and we're all going to be exactly better for it.
I think it's really interesting because I got the hard work thing just in time. It was a close call. And if I didn't have that in high school, I would not have gotten into construction or would have not made it in construction. And I would not be here today without a doubt in my mind. My siblings, I have a younger brother, I have a younger sister. Their mentality towards work is significantly different. And I've always wondered, why the hell is that? We grew up in the same spot. We had all the same opportunities. Everything was the same for all of us. Why is it so different? And it's not better or worse, but I have this hunger for work that they've had to develop later in life and they've struggled with a little bit that I didn't have to really figure out. And it's because I had the opportunity to work hard, presented by a something outside of our family and our upbringing that they didn't have. And so I don't think they ever really learned how to work and what real work was growing up. And now they're playing catch up in their adult life and trying to figure out what the hell it actually is. Then it's crazy how much of a difference it can create.
Yeah. And I think that my husband and I are both lucky that our parents were hard workers. And Corey, growing up, he watched his dad, he watched his grandpa, and they were out there farming and running the excavation company, trucking. We also have the trucking division of our company, and just guys that work really hard. And that was what he had to model. And, it's a great opportunity because not everyone has that.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to create those opportunities. Well, Christine, I've very much enjoyed talking with you.
Same.
I appreciate you. How'd you get involved with us? Did you reach out or how did we find you?
Oh, I've been following you guys. I listen to the podcast and I love it. I love hearing how so many people are in this industry. You know, so many things are universal and so many things are wildly different. And it's so cool to hear everyone's perspective and where they came from, where they're going. it's really inspiring.
Well, I appreciate you offering up your perspective on everything. And I'll have to stop by Fowler next time I'm up in your neighborhood and meet you guys and see what you guys do.
Absolutely. You can hop in the equipment and take it for a spin.
See, that's why I love people. People think I don't enjoy visiting small contractors. I love visiting small contractors because of that, because I can actually run equipment and just have fun. There's less rules and huge schedules and $1 million LDs. It's just a little, it's like a simpler way of life that I very much enjoy.
Yes. And it's not for everyone, but we love it as well.
Yeah.
We have no plans to go to like a big city or deal with any of that stuff. We're really happy with what we're doing. And sometimes it's underrated. There's big stuff going on around here too.
Totally.
It's just different.
Yeah. How do people find you? Are you guys online?
What's
the best way?
We're on Facebook, Mueller Excavating, cool. Company page on Facebook. And I need to get it together on Instagram, and I'm behind the eight ball on that, but I'm going to get better about it.
Together. You don't have a whole lot else going on, so spend some more time
exactly.
on social media. cool. Well,
I can definitely do that.
Thanks for chatting with us today.
Absolutely. You guys have a good one.